I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Off the ball. Rugby.
I think Munster are in a bad state. I think Munster have been in a badly run organisation for a while. And it pains me to say this. I don't like saying it. I love Munster. I mean, I cut my teeth as rugby core the Irish Times in the noughties.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we look back at a huge weekend of rugby, both internationally and domestically, as Leinster booked their spot in the Champions Cup semi-final and Ireland begin their women's Six Nations campaign with a defeat to England. Leinster ran in six tries as they trounced Sale 43-13 to book their place in the Investec Champions Cup semi-finals on Saturday in our live commentary game. The home side got off to the perfect start at the Aviva Stadium when, after they had secured line-out ball, they went through the phases before hooker Dan Sheehan crashed over to score a 10th-minute try and Harry Byrne added the conversion. Sharks reduced the deficit 6 minutes before the break with a penalty from England fly half George Ford. They were down to 14 men with 4 minutes left on the clock when number 8 Dan Dupria was shown a yellow card for a deliberate knock-on. Fullback Hugo Keenan stretched Leinster's lead with a second try 3 minutes after the restart, and prop Simon McIntyre's yellow card for a high tackle did not aid Sale's cause despite a second Ford penalty. Flanker Ryan Baird crossed for a third try for the hosts, and wingers Rico Ioane and Tommy O'Brien followed suit with Byrne adding the conversions. Sale replacements Alex Willis touched down in the corner and Ford obliged with the extras, but a Byrne penalty and a converted Jamie Osborne try wrapped up a convincing win. And after the game, our match co-commentator Brent Pope joined John Duggan and paid tribute to the comeback of fullback Hugo Keenan.
Hugo Keenan scored that second Leinster try. He'll have enjoyed it, Brent, because he's had a frustrating time missing the Six Nations.
Look, Hugo Keenan, as I said to him, to me is like the Rolls Royce of fullback play. He's good at everything he does. And I've even thought last week when he missed that tackle, that crucial tackle that I think Thompson got the try from Edinburgh, you saw him slap the ground in disgust because he doesn't miss many tackles, but he's so good in the air. So many of those 50-50 balls were won by Keenan or something like that. He scored a try to go along with his try last week, so he's covering the ground, he's doing everything right, and it's just another bonus to have him back for Leinster.
And speaking to Off the Ball's Cameron Hill, head coach Leo Cullen said that Sale's physicality made it a tough game for the boys in blue.
Listen, they're two very different types of teams, Edinburgh and Sale, so Sale and listen, they're incredibly physical teams, so whatever we were going to get, we were going to have to work incredibly hard for it, and that's the way it played out. So when we start the game, Dan scores a good try to start. We get some access into their 22. Because there was that shower that came down beforehand, so it's a little bit greasy. So there was a couple of handling errors more around being on the ground. So and that's something to do with the pressure that Sale put on us as well around some of the contact. So as I said, like, they're a hugely physical team, and you would have heard their coach talk about their northern mentality, the industrial sort of physicality that they want to bring to their game. So and you definitely see that in very experienced halfbacks, particularly George Ford at 10, in terms of their kicking game. And listen, they're not playing a huge amount themselves. They want to play a very strong kicking territory game and keep turning you. So, and that's, you just need to make sure you're able to manage that and not get sucked into overplaying at different stages. So, second half, listen, I think we managed it pretty well. Obviously, they lost a guy to the bin before half time. So, numerical advantage there, then when he came back on, listen, we were against 13 men for a brief period as well. So during that period, then we were able to apply plenty of pressure, and this was kind of just forced the way Sale wanted to play the game. So then you start seeing some opportunities arise because, listen, we're playing with positive intent, and you're seeing some space open up on the edges then as well. So I thought the players took at it pretty well.
And Cullen was pleased with the impact of Scott Penny.
Was your heart in your mouth when Ryan Baird passed over the line to Hugo Keenan for the try?
Yeah. Wasn't quite sure what he was doing. Trying to make the conversion a little bit easier for Harry, maybe.
Yeah. The penny tackle, that felt like the turning point in the way he got that turnover. It just seemed to energise the team in a huge way. When your subs are able to do that in the coaching box, you must be really, really pleased.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, and that's what you want. Like, it's going to be a huge quad effort for us. You know, we're fighting it out in both competitions now. So back to URC action next week. Well, next week isn't this week. It's on Friday, so 6-day turnaround into Ulster away, which is not a great challenge for us. But again, with the way the games are coming, listen, we need to be able to, you know, utilise the group, and the group needs to keep pushing each other on. So yeah, listen, Scott, great example of that there today. So he's a brilliant figure in the group, because listen, the work that he puts in for the team, you know, he wasn't even involved last week, but he's still putting in a huge amount of work for the team. So and that's what we need from everybody. So another exciting week we have coming up. So and yeah, listen, this is where we want to be, like, isn't it? Like, you're playing involved in big games. We've been in the pro, definitely to focus the mind now this weekend coming. Ulster are really riding high at the moment, aren't they? Listen, they're playing some amazing rugby at the moment. So we know it'll be a great challenge for us up there. So, but yeah, listen, we'll need a lot of effort from a lot of players within the group.
As was hooker Dan Sheehan.
And Scott Penny comes on and gets that tackle turnover on 50 minutes. It seems to just really energise the team. Did that give you guys the momentum and the sway? Because from there, it feels like you really kicked on.
Yeah, definitely. I thought Scott was brilliant. You know, we probably needed someone to just make a big hit and turn the momentum a little bit, and I thought he did a great job there. And you know, he's the most consistent player we have probably at doing that, and he delivers every time. I think it did need something just to kick us into gear a little bit. I thought we were maybe a bit too comfortable. You know, I thought we always felt a bit comfortable, but we need to push ourselves a bit more and get after them, and that was a good turning point.
Yesterday, the pairings were confirmed for the Champions Cup semi-finals, and Bath will face a tough test if they're to reach the final. The Prem's second-place side will go up against Bordeaux after the holders got past Toulouse 30-15 in the last day of yesterday. Both teams will go head-to-head for a place in the decider against Leinster or Toulon next month. Exeter can look forward to a trip to Belfast to take on Ulster in the semi-finals of the European Challenge Cup after edging past Benetton 44-41 in Italy. England centre Henry Slade kicked a 79th minute penalty. The Chiefs will take on their Irish opponents next month for a place against the Dragons or Montpellier in the decider. Meanwhile, our own Dara Smith-Nocton caught up with La Rochelle's forward coach Dunica Ryan on Friday after their defeat to Ulster. Ryan spent 13 years playing for Munster and said that it is sad to see the province in its current state.
Just finally for me, I suppose Munster, you mentioned there, going through a tough time at the moment. A few results have been unfortunate, and then the redundancies as well, news of that in the last few weeks. Your thoughts on that, as I'm sure you've seen?
Yeah, it's very sad to see. I won't lie, I'm not as massively up to speed, but it's very sad to see. I hate seeing it, and I know the players as well, they're very aware of what's going on, and obviously, look, it's once stuff is with the players take control as well. You know, that kind of the spearheads the whole thing really as well, you know. But look, again, it's sad to see, and look, and you just hope that the lads can turn it around. I suppose that's pretty much it.
World champions England proved too good for Ireland on a record-breaking day in the Women's Six Nations on Saturday, but Scott Beaman's side showed positive signs of closing the gap between them and the Red Roses. After defeats by 78 and 44 points in recent years, Ireland never let their hosts run away at Twickenham, while they looked comfortable on the big stage in front of a record 77,120 attendants. The girls in green were beaten ultimately by a scoreline of 33-12, but captain Aaron King and head coach Scott Beamond says that they want to compete with the very best.
Yeah, it was a great occasion to have my first game back, but I'm probably similar to Scott. I'm quite competitive, so I'm a little bit disappointed that we didn't get the win. But yeah, it was a great occasion, and I'm unbelievably proud of the team.
It's incrementally been getting better. So we know there's a process. We want to be up there with world champions today. Last year we were 48 minutes and 7-5 down against the Red Roses. It was disappointing to concede the sort of early scores in the first half, really, which I would like to think if we get, as we go through this competition, maybe into next year, we can squeeze those errors out which then hopefully leaves you a tighter scoreboard into that sort of last quarter of the game.
Eilish Cahill made her debut in the game. And speaking to Off the Ball's Susanna Mullen, she says it was an incredible occasion.
Okay, Eilish, we were just chatting to Katie. Obviously, you came on together. What were the feelings when you were kind of standing on that sideline waiting to come on?
I just was focused on what was the first impact I could make on the game. What was the first thing I could do to lift the team and drive them on? It's not easy, that big England crowd and everything. So I was just focused on what's the first thing I could do to lift them.
Yeah, I mean, what a place to make your debut for Ireland in front of 75,000 people. What did that feel like?
Absolutely incredible. I was saying earlier, just even getting off the bus and seeing that sea of people, I've never experienced anything like it. Coming out for the warm-up, it was just people everywhere. It was incredible.
It must be amazing that, like, you're obviously quite young and, like, coming into the squad, that this is going to be now the norm for, like, Irish rugby players and English rugby players, female rugby players going forward.
Absolutely. A lot of my friends at Bowes have been capped with Ireland and have said, told me horror stories of games where there might be five or six people at them, and that they've had travel on buses overnight and all this crazy stuff. So it's so good to see that women's rugby is really on the up.
No, it's amazing. It's a hard place to come and play, especially against the world champions on their homecoming, especially packed down in a scrum against some really incredible props. How did you find the whole experience in terms of the rugby on the pitch?
Really, really good. I think, to be honest, I've been really well prepared the last 2 weeks in camp. I don't think there was any shock that I was like, oh my God, this is international rugby. The girls have prepared me really well during the last 2 weeks, and the coaches and everyone, even at scrum time. It's been a really intense 2 weeks, but it's really stood to me now.
Irish scrum half Katie Whelan made her debut in the match, and after a long journey, she says she was delighted to make her bout.
I just was so happy, like, coming on, like, I had a massive smile on my face. It was just amazing looking around and seeing, like, the massive crowd, seeing my parents in the crowd as well. I was just so ready to go. Like, I just wanted to get my hands on the ball and move. It was great. Yeah.
Has this been a long time coming for you?
Yeah, I'd say it is. Like, I've been in and around, like, the squad for the last 3 or 4 years. Like, I was in sevens when I was 18, and then I kind of had a history of, like, injury, so, like, I lost my contract and stuff. Like, it took me nearly 13 months to come back, and then I got back into 15s, and, like, I've been in a lot of, like, match day squads, like, travelling reserve and stuff. So yeah, a good few years coming, but I'm just over the moon. I can't believe it's actually happening. Yeah, it's kind of like a pinch me moment. I can't believe it's happening. So yeah.
And what a place to make your debut in front of, like, 77,000 people. What were the feelings when you were standing on the sideline, like, getting ready to go on?
I was kind of, it sounds really weird because, like, I was kind of, like, waiting to get nervous, but, like, I was just so excited. I was just, like, so ready to go on. I was nervous that, like, you know what you always have in the back of your head? It was like, what if I don't get on? Do you know what I mean? Like, my parents have travelled over, but just getting on, I was just thinking, I was like, my dad's watching this, you know what I mean? Like, I've finally done it, I finally got my first cap, getting to play with the girls. Like, because I've been around for so long, all the girls are, like, my best friends, so it was just amazing. And I just wanted to come on and, like, give the girls more energy and, like, finish strong for the last few minutes.
Cliona and Claudia Maloney McDonald lined up on opposite sides in the match, and the married couple explained their unique situation on the pitch playing against each other.
I think it was a kick in the head. She said she was nowhere near me. I said, well, you kicked me and then rolled over the top of me, so I think you were, but it's fine.
Yeah, Nanny sent a few threats to Clee. Yeah, my grandma was like, and you can tell Clee, if she does hit you hard, you'll have me chasing after her, coming to get her. So, yeah, a few tit and tats there, but everyone incredibly supportive. They expect us to play as hard against each other as we do anyone else.
The strange part was probably for me when I came off, because I think when I was in the game I was so focused on it, but when I come off and you're obviously still playing and Claude went to nine, it was unusual to be in the game watching, having played it, but yeah, it was just an unusual situation, I think, to watch on for.
Yeah, I think it was quite special watching Clee run out for her 50th, because obviously we're both in the tunnel at the same time, and all the Irish girls were obviously clapping, and then actually all the English girls were clapping you out as well, so it felt natural that I could applaud that situation as well. But just, yeah, I think a lot of pride prior to the game, and then as soon as the whistle goes, it's surprisingly natural just to get your head stuck in it, and you don't even really think too much about who's on the opposition, let alone if it's your wife.
Whilst Katie Whelan explained her situation with halfback partner Dana O'Brien.
We just had Cliona and Claudia obviously out here playing against each other. You came on with Dana, who's obviously your girlfriend, at 10. It's so funny being halfback partners. What's that been like, the whole build up and then playing together?
It's actually been really helpful and really easy now, but, like, when we were younger, So like our first, say, season together, when we were first senior season, we used to give out to a lot of to each other. There's a lot of shouting, like, and her mom actually, she was like, "Are you and Katie together?" Because we used to kill each other on the pitch. But like we've played together for so long now too, like Wolfhounds or Leinster, trained together all the time. So I feel like we've really, really worked on that partnership. And now when I came on, like, she just gave me a little smile, and I just knew that she believed in me. And like I back her so much as well. So it's just so comforting to have her on the pitch. It's so fun.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you reckon it's easier to play? Like with Dev, do you reckon it's easier to play together or against each other?
I actually saw this debate the weekend. We actually played against each other for the first time. We played against each other like on the rage before we kind of knew each other, but we played against each other then this year with Clovers and Wolfhounds, and I hated it. Like the whole build up to the games, like we went to the games together, like we're trying not to talk, we can't talk about the teams or anything. And like I want her to do really well, and like she wants me to do really well. So that's difficult because we're also kind of closer, like off a scrum she used to defend me and stuff, so that's harder. But yeah, definitely easier to play together, yeah, because I just want the best for her all the time.
And that is all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. Remember, you can listen to Monday Night Rugby this evening in your OTB Rugby podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. I'm David Wilson. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.